Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, the Bible tells us that there was no greater love. You know, we're celebrating Valentine's. And I find it really amazing that it falls today. Because we get to spend time with the one who loves us most. We get to spend time with the one who never leaves our side. The one who never lets us fail. You know, we had that worship night on Friday. And one of the things that was spoken was, and we even talked about this after, is that we know that God is preparing the church for some things. And one of the things that we really know that He's calling is to call us out of our comfort zone. We get really, really comfortable. Sometimes Christians get more comfortable than anybody else because they think, I said that prayer, I believe who you are, and I'm good. I'm good to go. But the truth is that He's got things that He's wanting to place within your life. When you get saved, it's just the beginning. It's not the moment that you're good to go for the rest of life. It's the moment that He says, you are made brand new. Where you were weak, I have made you strong. Where you felt like you couldn't go anymore, I've lifted the burden. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you joy that passes all understanding. He tells us that, man, we're meant to be just soaking up from the river. So I just want to encourage you. I don't know what I feel like He's wanting to tell somebody, get ready. Because I'm getting ready to shake you up. I'm getting ready to pull you out of what you're comfortable in, and I'm going to put you in a new thing. And it's not a bad thing. So don't worry. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. Don't even fight it. Allow Him to do it, because this new place that He's going to bring you into is to give you more. It's to move you forward. It's to give you life and life more abundantly. It's to place you into something that He's been desiring to give you that He's not been able to. There is nobody that loves you like the Father. So don't worry when He does new things in your life, because those new things are meant to give you things that you couldn't even imagine. Do you know that there are things that I planned? Things that I thought, oh, this would be great. Like, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Can I tell you that every single thing He's taken me through has been to bring me to the points that I'm at in my life. And I know that He's not done yet. What He has planned for you is greater than anything that you could ever imagine. He's placed things within you that He desires to bring forth. He kept them a mystery to you on purpose. Because there's things in your life that He's going to take you through, places that He's going to put you in that help you to grow. They build you up. If He gave you everything from the beginning, you wouldn't understand. You know that Joseph was sold into slavery, and he still knew that God had something more for him. He still knew that the dreams that you gave me are not just things that I dreamt on my own. They were placed in my life because of you. And when he was in prison, when he was in his lowest moments, he still believed that the Father would be there, that He would give him what He promised. There's going to be moments in our life, and I believe he's bringing them sooner than later, where you're going to have to take the next step, regardless of what you see. He's going to bring us to points in our life where we say, God, that's a little scary, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's in those moments that you show faith by taking those steps, standing on the promises he's given you, that he might be able to thrust you forward into something new. Yeah. Oh, but it takes movement. It takes movement. It takes you being willing to step out of the norm, to move into something new. How are you meant to be the light of the world when you're too busy being the world? That's right. We're meant to be a part of the kingdom. You are meant to shine. You are meant to shine so bright. You have a brilliance in you. Stop covering it. Stop being scared. Stop being comfortable. Stop being used to the norm. Start realizing, God, I don't like the way this world is going, so I'm going to be something else. I'm going to show who you are in it. Because that's what he desires for you. We were meant to be fishers of men. And it's not because we got to go attack every person on the street. Not because we got to go chase them down. No, because your life is meant to be a reflection of who he is. Something that is completely different from what everybody else is. You won't even have to say something because you will shine so bright and they will be so attracted to you that they're going to come to you. I want to know what you have. You have something different. And I want to know what that is. Because where I feel like my life is failing, you're prospering. Where I feel like everything's being down low, you've got hope. And I don't understand why. I'll tell you why. It's because the Father lives within you. Yep. Who know who you are. I don't know who he's talking to, but it's even hitting me. Know who you are in him. Man, you are a child of God. You are royalty in the kingdom. You are more than a conqueror. Whew. He has given you so much above and beyond.
The Holy Spirit's been speaking to me this morning. And when Rebecca was speaking, she said some words exactly what the Lord was telling me. She was talking about Joseph. And the Lord wants you to know that he wants to bring you clarity in your life. That if you get on your knees and seek him, that he will clarify what's going on. Ask him and you shall receive. Walk with him. Walk in righteousness with him. He has something for each and every one of you, and he's been speaking to you in your heart. He's asking us to come forward now to represent him in the kingdom, to show the world who you are as you bring forth the light, as Rebecca said. But he wants you to have clarity. He wants you to know who you are, what you are, and what you're doing in the kingdom. Just ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. He will show you every desire that you have. But his desire is what you want. His desire is what we need. Let him speak to you now. Open up your eyes and your ears, and he will touch your heart. He will mold you and guide you and strengthen you. He is the potter. You are the clay. Just conform to his way. Thank you.
What the Lord's been telling me is that He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll always be with us. And He wants to give you a gift today. And all you have to do is ask for it. It's just like when you're married and you have your husband, you look at him and you know exactly what he's saying. You know the signal between you and him. He wants to give you that signal between you and him. He wants to make it a personal relationship with you. So with me, the way he does it, whenever I'm praying and I'm asking for something, he just gives me this little peace, this little, oh, yeah, it's going to be okay. A smile. He gives me a smile. But what does he want to give you? He wants to ask him, what does he want to give each one of you? Does he want to give you a smile? Does he want to give you... It's a relationship with him. It's personal. So what is it that you need? What is it is a signal that he has for you to say you're in the right path? I'm okay. You are exactly where you need to be. And it's like I know when he gives me this little inkling of, I know whatever I'm facing, even though it may not look good, I know it will come out good. So ask him, what is the signal that he has for you? What is that look? What is it could be? I love butterflies, so he shows me butterflies sometimes. But, you know, you all have something that you cherish, something that he has for you. Ask him and let him show you. But don't leave without the gift that he's giving you today on Valentine's Day. Okay? Because he loves you so much.
Do you love Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. 1979, I gave my heart to the Lord, man. And it has, and it, he's been as faithful to me as the sun is to come up in the morning. How many say amen to that? He's been as faithful to me as it is the sun will go down and the moon comes up and the moon goes down. Hallelujah. Every day as faithful as the day is, he's been as faithful to me. How about you? Anybody here say, hey, yeah, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. How many say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Woo, hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. Am I going to have a backup here today, this morning? Maybe? Brendan? We're going to have some backup music today, man. Hallelujah. Maybe? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that today's Valentine's Day? Amen. Hallelujah. And last year, 7 years ago, on and around Valentine's Day, that's when we came into this building. And so we're going to celebrate that today. We're going to celebrate 7 years of being in this building. How do you say amen to that? So we are here this morning to ruin your lunch. We're going to give you some cake. All right, please, before you leave, have some cake. And celebrate with us because God has been good. Amen. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're a hard bunch, man. You're a tough crowd. Praise God, man. I know each and every person that's in the building today and those that will be hearing this, that when it goes out, I know God is speaking. I know God is saying something. Can I tell you that it's okay that you can trust God? Do you know that it's okay you can trust him with your life? Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that he watches over you? Do you understand that he cares about you and he loves you? And there's something about when things are going a little bit haywire in your life or you're feeling a little bit different, you're going to find that God is there to say, hey, you know what? I'm right here. I'm right here. And your heart will cry out, say, you know what, God, what do I got? Let me help me, God, and do something. What can I do? What can I do? A lot of times it might be just the Lord says, you know what? Come and worship me. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you something? There are some folks that don't get what worship is. Do you know that? Worship is when the body of Christ comes together and in one accord, they worship God. It's a time where God will begin to speak things into your hearts. That's why we have people coming up to speak, because God will say something to them. Amen? Hallelujah. In the moment, in that time, God would be speaking something to you. And you know what? A lot of times it's not just for you. It's a lot of times it might be for somebody else in the body of Christ. So a lot of people don't understand that. I've had people in the church that would actually stay outside during the worship time. I've had people that actually have conversations during worship time. Could it be that there's no understanding of what worship time is? Worship time is a time when we come together to worship Him, to adore Him. Hallelujah. And He responds by giving you a word. He'll respond by speaking to your heart on something that maybe you're not even thinking about. And all of a sudden He speaks to it and He addresses it. Hallelujah. God uses worship time. It's a solemn time. It's a time to rejoice. It's a time to praise. Sometimes you'll see people on their knees. You'll see people, you know, running across the aisle. Friday night, we had a whole crowd of young people running across the platform up here. What else you call it? I don't want to call it a stage. That's not a stage. We don't stage anything here, man. Folks, I'm not into religion. How many say amen to that? Yeah, guys at work used to tell me, oh, you're that religious guy. I said, I ain't religious at all. You're more religious than I am. You'll have a beer every Friday night. That's religion, bro. And they go, what? I go, yeah, man. I said, man, I just believe in God. I just believe God and I trust Him and I love Him. He's a good God. His word says His Son died for my sins. Isn't that cool? All the things that I ever done in my life, the Bible says that Jesus died for them. How many like that idea? That's not my idea. It's His idea. He sent His Son to die for you. Isn't that cool? That's really, hallelujah. Well, wait a minute. For me, yeah. For you. He died for you because He loves you. He died for the whole world is what the Bible says. Even the ones that will spit in His face, even the ones that will pull His beard, tamp thorns on His head, drive nails into His hands and His feet, even them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Hallelujah. Even them He came to seek and to save those that are lost. Isn't that cool? What a God we have. What a God we serve. And I don't believe God at all is religious. I don't believe He's, you know, hey, man. I don't think, you know what, we don't take attendance here. We don't find out, well, are you here? Or, you know, well, you only came 12 times this last year, you know. Are you part of this or not? No, we don't do that, man. We love you. I've seen churches where you can get on the church membership. And if you don't give your tithes, they're going to send you a letter. I don't think they even send you one to thank you. I never got one. But miss some tithes, boy, and I'll tell you what, they're right on the spot, jolly on the spot. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you soon. See, that's kind of a religion. Everything you do for God, you do out of your heart. Because He says, He drives, He pushes. We offer, hey, man, we got stuff to do. We got things to do. As you can see, we're only just on the approach part of the bowling alley. The rest of it from here on is where they threw the ball. And we got a lot of work to do back there. Amen. But I believe God is doing something here. This is not our work. It's His work. You just happen to be privileged to be a part of what God is doing in the earth today. How many say amen to that? You are part of the kingdom of God on the earth. And you got some folks don't even know what that means. What does it mean? There's Christians that have been Christians all their life, don't even know what that means. To be part of the body of Christ on the earth, to reveal the glory of God on the earth so that all people will know that there's a God in heaven and He cares and He loves and He will heal. He will deliver. He'll break chains. He'll break bonds. In an instant. In an instant, He can do these things. Do you believe it? Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, how many say I believe it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God's doing some good things. I'm excited about our house today. I'm gonna talk a little bit just about getting here. Because it's important that the body of Christ here understands and knows that God chose this building. God, we didn't pick it, did we, Pastor John?
When a friend, when a brother that was with us in the Lord said, hey, we got the bowling alley there, it's empty. We said, what do we need such a big building for? We just need a little spot. We had gone to look at a place, isn't that right? Were you with us? The roof was, I mean, it was right here. I like to jump. Praise God. I like to lift my hands and jump. Man, I would have been banging the roof all day. We would have had to raise the roof on that. You know, I mean, literally raise the roof. Because of that guy, that crazy pastor. Amen. We didn't choose this. God chose it. God told me while I was at work, go down there, pray around that building. Okay. So I prayed around this building. We were in a Bible study down in Amado. And Brother Jesse and Mary came to visit Rosie and I yesterday while we were here. And we just had a good time with them, man. And say, hey, Brother Jesse, you know you're part of this, man. You know that? Because it was there that John and Jesse, and they laid hands on Rosie and myself because God had called us to lead a congregation. My knees were buckling. I said, me, a pastor? Are you kidding me? I could be a youth pastor, an old one at that. Thank you, Abe. Man, I don't know about that. Praise God. An old youth pastor. But I said I could be a youth pastor under the guidance of a senior pastor. But to be a senior pastor, I mean, I was, I don't know. But we prayed and it happened. Here we are today. Amen. Praise God. And I'm just going to give you some stuff this morning because as I read through some of this stuff, I didn't realize that God was taking me step by step by step by step by step. It's crazy. But I want to start out. The message today is called Though It Tarry. And this came on me last night. I started to do a message. I was going to do a message, a love message. How many of you guys like love messages? Valentine's Day. I was going to do a story on Ruth and Boaz. How many of you guys remember Ruth and Boaz? How Boaz actually purchased Ruth. And Ruth became the father of the great breed. I mean, Ruth had a son, and her son became the great-grandfather of King David. Isn't that cool? God knows what he's doing. But that was going to be my story. It's a story of love. We're going to get real sticky in love this morning. Amen? And instead of that, we got your cake. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. Everybody say thank you, Rebecca. Give her a hand for bringing that cake, man. You're going to love that cake. Those cakes are cakes like none other. You're going to love them. Hallelujah. But I believe that God is still want us to go after him in prayer. Most of last year, God kept telling us, come into my presence, come into my presence. Find me in your closet. Seek after me, seek after me. God is still calling his people into his presence. Can I tell you that? Because we are in a time when the world needs to see the body of Christ. Like my daughter was saying this morning, the light of the glory of God needs to be upon us more and more and more. And it comes when you spend time with God. Do you know that the Bible says in his presence, like being in his presence while we're worshiping, in his presence, there's a fullness of joy. How many know that? How many know that the word of God says that? In his presence, there's a fullness of joy. And what's cool about it, the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is your strength. Is that correct? Amen. Is that what God's word says? So you got to go someplace to get that joy. You got to get tanked up. How many say amen to that? I get tanked up. I like getting filled up with joy. I love it. The only place you're going to get that kind of joy is in God's presence. And God is calling you into his closet, into your closet, so that he can meet with you personally. So he can speak to you about all the things that you've been wondering, all the things you're scared about, all the things you're happy about, all the things that he has for you that you have no idea about. Can I tell you, the Bible says this, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man or you or woman. You. It hasn't entered into your heart the great things, the things that he has prepared for you. Amen. Do you know that? He's prepared them for you. How many like getting stuff prepared for you? I especially like tacos. I love tacos. Pastor John talked on love last week. Yeah, I love tacos. Hallelujah. He prepares. Is that right? The Bible says he prepares what? A table before you in the presence of your enemies. He prepares for you. He prepares for you. Period. Praise God. I believe that's a word already. Let's go home. Let's get some cake. Hallelujah. No, I'm going to give you what God gives me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to look at this word. This is John chapter 16, verse 13. This is what God's word says. Jesus was talking. Just this is right in between the Lord's Supper and him going to the cross, being arrested, going to the cross. This is right in between that time. So he's definitely speaking things he knows are so important to the body of Christ, so important to the disciples that he's speaking to. He's speaking these things, and this is what he says. One of the things he says a lot, amen? He says a lot, but he says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth..." Can I just say, I just will stop right there. Can I tell you something? As a man and woman of God, you have something within you. You have what the Bible calls an unction within you that God has placed within you. He's called the Spirit of Truth. His name is also the Holy Ghost. His name is also, hallelujah, the Spirit of Grace. His name is the Spirit of Grace. That's his name. He's within you. He's the one that says, "Shouldn't have said that." I mean, he's the one that says, oh, yes. Give. Help. He's the one that says those things. He's the one that's within you. He's the one that Jesus is talking about here. Howbeit he, the Spirit of Truth. And what I want to get to you is that in today's world, we don't know what's right and what's wrong. How many of you say amen to that? If you watch what's going on, who's right? Who's wrong? Can I tell you something? Listen to this. Listen to your heart. There's something within you saying, be careful of that. There's something within you say, this is the way, walk in it. There's something within you that will, he's called the Spirit of Truth. When you hear things that are of the truth, you'll recognize that God likes it. You'll recognize that something within you says, yeah, this is right. Can I say amen to that? So instead of trying to figure out what's right, say, God, what's right? What's the truth? And watch what he does, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of Truth will show you what's right. Hallelujah. Amen, Pastor. Good word. Good word, Pastor. Rosie goes, stop it. Hallelujah. Good word, bro. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, that's a good word. Because your heart will tell you what's right. The Holy Spirit via God, I don't even know how he does it. He just says, that's right. Hallelujah. He'll tell you what's right. Yes. Praise God. He says, the Spirit of Truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. Is that good? Promises, promises, promises. He will guide you into it. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Amen. What's he mean? What does that mean? You see, the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, they make up our God. Amen? You can't separate one from the other. So it's almost like they're having this conversation about you. And whatsoever he says, he'll say it to you. He'll reveal it to you. He'll show it to you. How many like God to show you stuff? How many want God to show you more? Amen. Hey, if you guys get a chance, I'm going to put a commercial in here right there. Is that okay? I need your website. Brother Terry puts out some really nice stuff. It's loaded with, I mean, this last one I saw was this beautiful deer walking around. It's like it's walking up almost, man, Terry, you can touch him from where you're at. Is that how close he was? He was right there. This is a commercial. Get his website and watch these things. Because one thing that he does, which I love about it, the Word of God comes flowing out of that video. It comes out. Because the Word of God touches It changes. It helps people. It's God's word. How many say amen to that? God's word does that. So is that good? $60, brother, $60. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. He will guide you into all truth. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are agreeing to speak something to you. Isn't that cool? You're not alone. You're not by yourself. The Spirit of God, the Father, and the Son are with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Got to know that. Even though the Father and the Son are in heaven, the Spirit of God here on earth is one with them. What you're hearing him say to you is what they are saying about you. Isn't that cool? Praise God, man. Anyway, here we go. And he says, and he will show you things to come. You like to be seen? How many, I asked this already tonight. How many want to see things that are coming? How many of you want to know the future? Isn't that crazy? You know what? Can I tell you that God wants to show you things that are coming? It's not like he's a fortune teller. He just knows the things that are coming in your life. He knows what they look like. Some of you young ladies had dreams about kids that you know, and now they're in your life. How many say amen to that? Some, hallelujah, have had dreams about houses, and now they're here. And can I tell you something? That's what happened with me with this thing. I had a dream. How was that? What's that? Never mind. Bad joke. Praise God. I want you to look at Isaiah 45, verses 11 through 12. Check this out. It says this. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask of me of things to come concerning my sons. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Stop right there before we go to the next one. It says, ask of me of things to come concerning my son. Can you see, how many can see that God is telling you to ask him? Ask him. See, this is a personal one-on-one God. How many say amen to that? He wants to show you things. He does. He wants to open things up to you, but you got to come to him. That's why I'm telling you, you got to go into his presence. You got to find your closet, kneel next to your bed, whatever, and say, God, I'm here. I just want to spend some time with you. You know my need. He knows your needs before you even ask him. How do you know that? And say, Lord, you know my needs before I ask you. And begin to just speak with him and allow him to speak back to you. Amen. Hallelujah. He says this. Thus saith the Holy One of Israel, his Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands. And this is one of the scriptures that I just want you to know that this building, everything going on here is the work of his hands. It's not Henry's, not John's, not Brother Steve, not Brother Terry, not Abe. Where are you at, Abe, back there, man, calling the pastor old? It's not that. It's none of their work. It is the work of God. It's a work concerning his hands, not our hands. Amen? Hallelujah. And then it says this. Verse 12, I love this. It says, I have made the earth. Created man upon it. Amen? I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I just love this scripture. I love it. Because you can look out there, man, and you can look at that moon, and you say, what's holding it up? Amen? Look at the sun. What's holding that up? Why does this planet go around the sun all the time? Why do we experience spring, summer, winter, and fall? Why? Because God says right there, I commanded it. Can I tell you that if the universe didn't have the command of God, it would be all over? How many know that? Hallelujah. I've been told, I don't know, I've heard it said that if the earth changes its axis, just a little bit, we don't freeze or we don't burn up. How do you know that? Do you know that? This thing is perfectly positioned to go around the sun. Perfectly positioned. The moon go around the earth. Perfectly positioned. Not too close, not too far. Perfectly positioned. Isn't that crazy? Who did that? Come on. There's a lot of people don't want to even acknowledge God. Don't tell me about God. Come on, man. Even the air you breathe, he created. Isn't that cool? So yeah, It's okay, man. You won't hear about God one of these days. Know this, that God loves you and he cares about you. How many like that scripture? I love that scripture. God says, I created it all. It's all mine. Belongs to him. Hallelujah. And he says, I created man upon it. You belong to him. Whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, doesn't matter. You belong to him. The word of God says that. He says, I created man upon it. He's responsible for man being on this earth. Is that right? He's responsible. Does he act responsibly? You absolutely, he does. He has given us everything that we need. Provision he gives us. He gives us healing when we need it. Amen? He gives us direction. He gives us whatever it is we need. That's just who he is, because he is responsible for this whole thing we call earth. I love it, man. Ooh, man. And to know that God is setting up a kingdom in this earth. Daniel said that this is a kingdom that will never pass away. It will always be. I saw a rock cut out of the mountain, is what Daniel says. A rock cut out of the mountain. And that rock became a great mountain. That rock was Jesus, created. Which created a kingdom. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 33, verse 2 and 3. Remember that God says, I created the earth and man upon it. And Jeremiah 33, verses 2 and 3 says this, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. Thereof what? The earth and everything around. He says, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. How many say his name is the Lord? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is his name. Call unto me and I will answer you. What? You created the heavens and the earth. Talk to Saturn. Pluto's not even a planet anymore, huh? We as men, we think we're really smart. Oh, no, that's not a planet no more. But he commanded all those things and he says, call to me and I will answer you is what he says. Folks, that is a personal invitation to you, whoever you are, wherever you're from. Doesn't matter. He says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know about. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He wants to show you things that you haven't even thought of. Hallelujah. Bill Gates today might be creating something we've never thought of. Is that right? But God wants to show his people, the body of Christ, let me show you something that will shut down Billy and all his little works, all his little trinkets. Can I tell you something? That God is the one that allows the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge into the earth. It comes through him. Billy Gates might not get it, but it's happening to him. Even now, he doesn't understand that it's God showing him. The technology we have, the technology that God has for those that are on the earth. Is that crazy? Call it crazy if you will, but I know that these are open doors men walk through, whether they believe God or not, and sometimes they'll take a hold of things that are from God, and if they don't acknowledge God one day in their life, sooner or later, they're going to have to acknowledge God one day, and if they don't, we don't want to talk about where they might end up now, do we? Because if you don't acknowledge God and what he's done by his son, the word of God tells us very clearly that those who deny the son, he will deny and they will spend their eternity in a place called hell. Isn't that crazy? God said that place was made for the devil and his angels. Created for them because they knew the estate of God and they let go of it and they went after Satan. So God created a place for them, not for man, but man in his denial of God. If he denies God all his life, he'll go there. Not by, there's no options. You can't say, well, it's not real. Oh, yeah. Well, the word of God says it will. Jesus says it's a real place. And if Jesus says it's a real, how many of you know Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life? He cannot lie. And if Jesus said it's a real place, it's a real place. Yes, hell is real. Hell is real. God is watching over us. Amen. He's desiring to bless us. He's desiring for us to walk in a way that we've never walked before. He wants to show us things to come. Praise God. I'm going to read to you out of my... No, I'm not reading. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is what God says. Can I just say this, folks? As Christians, the responsibility is on us. How many know that? We are responsible... We are responsible for something. But watch this. This is my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Can I tell you, God is calling us to the prayer room. He says, humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many know our land needs some healing? How many know that man just can't do it on their own? Is that correct? I mean, we might think we can fix a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you right now what's going on in our nation. We need God to fix. We need God. Our nation needs God. Hallelujah. So he says, my people which are called by my name, that's you and me. That's us. We'll humble ourselves and pray. And God says he'll hear from heaven. The word of God says to seek his face. How many like seeking God's face? Praise God. Seek his face and you watch. He'll show you things that are coming towards you. He'll show you those things. Psalm 91, starting at verse 1. We're going to go through this psalm just kind of quickly, but we're going to, starting at verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. These are promises, folks. If you abide in the secret place of the Most High, Where is that secret place? It's in your prayer room. It's in your car. It's at work. It's your heart abiding with God. Say, God, I just love you. I care about you, God. He says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. See that he's a refuge, he's a fortress, he's your God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your what? Shield. Amen. Hallelujah. His truth isn't just your face mask. Okay, all right. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Do you see that? Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it will not what? Come near you. Why? Yeah. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. How many see that? Nothing evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Is that what the word of God says? It says no plague, for he shall give his what? Can I tell you that his angels are a lot bigger and more in number than what we even understand? Can I tell you that when the angels are surrounded, your house is surrounded by angels, can I tell you something? That there is a force that we can call a shield. It is the angelic host of God. The Bible talks about it all over. These angels watch and take care of those that are called by God, because they know that God's got a purpose for these people that are on the earth, and they will watch over you. That's what it says. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in what? All your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon. You shall trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. I love this part right here, because it switches. It switches from David prophesying to David actually saying what God is saying in a powerful way to us. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. What name is that? The Jesus. Because he's known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Do you see that? What I want you to see is the last verse. Because when you're spending time with God and you're dwelling with, you're walking with God, when God is speaking to you and he's leading you and he's guiding you, even though you might not even understand it and know it all, the Word of God says here that he's showing you his salvation. How many know that when God says something, it's true? How many know that when God says, I will show you my salvation, he's going to show you his salvation? Do you know that? Do you understand that? He's going to open these things up to you. It's not just you, Jesus dying on the cross for you. It is salvation in every aspect of your life. No matter where you're at, he's going to come and he's going to show you things. It's a wonderful thing. Bring up verse 16, Katie, one more. I just want you, with long life will I satisfy him. How many like long life? Anybody want to live forever? I mean, a lot of people go, no. No, I'll tell you what. Why? Because we don't understand what God is saying about it. We do not understand the prospect of eternity and what God is saying about, because God is forever. How many say amen? How many know that God lives forever? And the Word of God tells us, with long life will I satisfy. Well, how long is that? How long do you want to live? I've heard some people say, well, 80 is good for me. How many 80 is good for you? How about 85? How about 90? How about 95? Anybody? How about 100? Is that good enough for you? How about 105? How about 120? Is that good enough for you? See, because the Word of God, you got to use the Word for the Word. Can I tell you that? He says, with long life will I satisfy you. Can I tell you that Methuselah was 969 years? How many of you want to live that long? Come on. Hallelujah. And his years are no different than the years we experience. That the same kind of timetable was in his life as it is. Those things haven't changed. His years are the same years that we have. Think about it, 969 years. Now that's a chunk of time. Amen? Hallelujah. Put that on the news. John Valero celebrated his 968th birthday today. Come on, man. Whew. But you see, the Word of God tells us he renews us daily. Day by day, he'll renew us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He'll strengthen you and renew you and bring you into new things almost daily. Everything that you need to do, he'll strengthen you for it. You know, Moses was an old guy when he got on that ark. How many know that? He's an old youth pastor. Come on, man. Abe, oh boy, where you at, bro? Come on, man. Hallelujah. What I want to do right now is I just want to read a little bit out of my journal. And how many write journals? Does anybody here do journals? I'm going to tell you something. I mean, can I tell you, do a journal. Journal. I journal. I try to journal. I try to get it to this one. A lot of times I lose this thing. I can't find it and everything. So I've got stuff written down all over the place. One of these days I'll find time to try to gather them all together and try to put them together in sequence. Because I do try to date things. When you write things down, put a date on it, okay? This is just a suggestion. You don't have to, this is not, you know, the Lord says, you know, no, I'm just saying, just put a date on it. Write it down, because you'll be surprised at what you write. And then when you go back and look at it so many days, years later, sometimes you'll go, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm going to read to you what I wrote down. This was February 4th of 2005. This is the date that I wrote this down. this thing was 9 years before we even got into this house. 9 years. 9 years. See, the Word of God says in Habakkuk chapter 2. Can I get you to bring that up? Verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved. I love what Habakkuk says here. He says, I'll get on my tower and I will watch. And then he says this, I will watch to see what he will say to me. Do you see that? He didn't say it this way. I will watch to hear what he said. He says, I watch to see what he will say to you. See, Habakkuk was expecting a vision. Are you expecting to see visions? Are you expecting to see dreams? The word of God tells us in Joel, he says, in the last day, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall dream dreams, and your old youth pastors. Thanks, Abe. Praise God. Forgiveness is a key. He says, hallelujah. Key to life is forgiveness. See, he wants to show you these things. I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer him when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. That the vision is yet for a time appointed. Okay? At the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, see that? Though it tarry, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. When God gives you something, just wait on it. Wait for it. When he speaks to you about something, wait. Just wait. Hallelujah. The things that he has to, sometimes the things that he says to you might seem a little bit outlandish, out kind of crazy, but he says them to you for a reason. I've told you before that he told me that he was going to give me a house. I got all excited, went and told Rosie, God says he's going to give us a house because we live in a mobile home. He said, God's going to give us a house, cement floors. Kind of sounds like the Beverly Hillbillies, huh? Cement floor. No, that's a cement pond they had. No, sorry. But anyway, we're going to have cement. She goes, good, good. Well, we still live in that mobile home. But when I was walking around, God had told me to walk around this place. I was behind this house. I was behind this building. And the Lord said to me, this is the house that I promised you. I said, what? We can't live here. No, I didn't say that. I said, Lord, what? See, God, whatever you're thinking, Lord, God has things so much larger and bigger than what. Can you outthink God on these things? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. So it's important that we in our prayer time begin to spend time with him and you watch. He'll begin to show you what his thoughts are about you. You. Isn't that cool? This is February 4th, 2005. This is what I wrote. This morning, the Lord has began to relate or speak to my heart about a certain dream I had on Tuesday. The dream was like this. I was with a group of people whom I am sure were loved ones. Rosie was sitting next to me. And as I drove this large, roomy, golf cart sort of vehicle, I say golf cart because there was no doors, but this vehicle was a lot larger than a golf cart. We seemed to be driving on some sort of estate with a very large porch and very beautiful house in front of us. Hallelujah. As we neared the house, I became very excited about it and stopped the vehicle and began to walk by myself toward the house. As I neared the entrance, a very large and I think black dog stopped me. I don't remember being afraid of this dog, and he wasn't at all excited about me. He wasn't barking or growling, but what he did do surprised me. He walked around me and grabbed me by the seat of my pants. He wasn't biting me. He just grabbed me by my pants and slowly pulled me back to the port, to the people and the vehicle I had come from, and literally sat me in the vehicle. And I put in there, that's it. That's the dream. That's what I had. But what I did put at the front of this, God began to relate to me what he was saying about that dream. I had no idea where God was taking me. This was 9 years before we even thought. I was still a youth pastor at First Assembly when this happened. Had no idea. But what was happening, God was speaking things to me. He was showing me things. I was taking on some of the things that he's using now in this house. He was giving them to me, but I didn't understand why he was doing it. But I know that I was getting kind of excited about it. How many of you say amen to that? How many of you know that when God speaks to you, sometimes people, when God, a prophet, somebody comes to you and they prophesy, well, brother, you know, you're going to be in Anchorage, Alaska, and boom, man, you just pack up your clothes and boom, you take off up there. And that's not what God's trying to do. He's not trying to get you to move right now. He's just trying to tell you, look, this is where I'm taking you. Let me, just trust me, I'll take you to it. Is that okay? So here's what, because I had the dream, 2 days later, he began to relate to me what the dream was about. Quietness, this is what I wrote, quietness, he is speaking to me about quietness. In Isaiah chapter 30, God is speaking to his people, woe to rebellious children, says the Lord, that takes counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt. Egypt is a form of the world. How many say amen to that? Egypt is the way the world thinks. And God says, woe to my children because they act like Egypt. They don't come after me. They go down and do the same things that the world does. And he says, I didn't create them for this. Amen. Is that good? How many say amen to that? Amen. This is Isaiah 30. They go walk down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, is what he says. Your shame. Because can I tell you something? When you begin to act like the world, trust the things of the world and everything, and do the things of the world, can I tell you, being a child of God, you're bringing shame. Is that right? What? Why shame? See, because the Word of God tells us, and a lot of times he just thinks this is about cussing, but it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Is that what it says? When you act like the world, you're taking his name in vain. Can I tell you that? Do you get what I'm saying to you? Because he hasn't created you to act like the world. He hasn't created you to go down to Egypt to find all your answers. He created you to go after him. Period. Woo. That's him. He says, therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your confusion. You'll get confused. Amen? How many of you ever felt confused? How many of you watch the TV today and go, man, I'm confused. I don't know what's right. Should I? Shouldn't I? Whatever, man. It's weird. Isn't that right? God says, ask him. He'll answer you. Just check it. Check out. Check it out with him. Verse 7 says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. How many of you know God has purpose? God has a purpose for your life. And he says, the world cannot give you what I'm trying to give you. So quit going to them. Go to my closet. Go to your prayer room. Find me, seek me, and you'll find me, and you'll see that I've got things for you. He says, therefore, I have cried concerning this. This is what God says. Their strength is to sit still. Amen? Can I tell you, in just sitting still with God and spending, and just say, sit still. Just sit still. it will bring strength to you. Is that okay? How many times do you have to make a decision in a snap decision? And then you find out, I could have taken care of this 2 weeks from now. But you make this decision right away because, you know what? Because somebody's saying, hey, you got to decide now, whatever. No, God says, no, sit still, rest. I have people that have been in the church have tried to drive me, have tried to push something on me, try to make me do things that you know what? I say, they're good things. Can I tell you they're good things? But I have found that God says, I will lead you and I will guide you. Wait on me. And that's what I do. And I know it's frustrating to a lot of people. How many of you say amen to that? Come on. You can say, yeah, Pastor, you're pretty frustrating. Come on, man. But I'll wait on God. I will wait and I will wait. Hallelujah. It says this, trusting the Lord is becoming a major issue in my life. This is what I wrote. I have received a number of prophecies and dreams, and some of these are very exciting. For thus, and it says, skip down to verse 15, because it says, for thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You see, waiting on God and waiting for him to say something to you is a place of quietness and also a place of confidence. Can I tell you, there's nothing going on in your life that God doesn't know about. Amen? Can I say that to you? There's nothing going on in the world that God doesn't know about. God doesn't go, oh my God. He said, oh Jesus, look, we forgot about what's his face. No, man, God doesn't do that. He knows everything about everything. Amen? You can trust him. You know nothing about nothing. If you say, I just trust you, God, you're in a winning position. Can I say that to you? Watch this. Praise God. Quietness. And this is where I'm saying, this is the dream. He says, quietness. He's speaking to me on quietness. The Hebrew word for quietness is shakwat. Not shak, but shakwat. It means to repose, idleness, to be quiet, settle, and be still. Just be still. Can I tell you, in the midst of a thing going on in your life, God is saying, be still. In the midst of a sickness or a disease, God's saying, just be still. Be still. I know about it. I can help you. Wait on me. Watch me. I'll help you. Be still. The Greek word for quietness is hesukia, which means stillness. In other words, distance from bustle or language, quietness and silence. Everybody say that. Who's hesukia? Hesukia. That's what I'm saying. Hesukia. ¿Qué pasó? Hesukia. That's easier that way, isn't it? Well, for me, because I'm Mexican. Kinda. And Anthony's looking at me. He can't talk Spanish. You don't know it. Hesukia. I know what that means. That means stillness and a distance. It is a feminine word from hesukios, which means... And this is really where God spoke to me concerning the dream. Keeping one's seat. Remember that dog? He took me back and placed me back in that cart. Because the time wasn't right. The time wasn't then. It means keeping one's seat, sedentary. In other words, be still, undisturbing, peaceable, and quiet. Sedentary, the word which I said, man, I don't even know what that means. How many of you guys know what a sedentary means? Some of you, I see some of you scholars are in here saying, yeah, I know what that word is. I didn't know what it means, so I had to look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. And it had four things. It says, custom to sit much or sit in a, or work in a sitting posture. That used to be my job up the mine. Worked in a desk. And then another one could be characterized by sitting. And then the ones I liked, I really feel God was speaking to me when I looked it up, is remaining in one place, not migratory, attached to an object. Attached. What's that? Sorry, Kate, is that what I wrote? Attached or fixed to an object. When God's word comes to you and he says something to you, attach yourself to it. Let it be fixed to you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So I said all of this for this. I believe, this is what I wrote down. I believe and know that God gave me this dream in order for me to trust what he had spoken to me. Before this, I found myself trying to find my way into what he had spoken. In 2004, I was praying for Jonathan, my son, after visiting him on the 4th of July, and God spoke to Rosie and I about a change of scenery. We're still at First Assembly, a change of scenery, and an inevitable move would take place. And it did. Can I tell you something? It wasn't until about 2010, 2011, where this change happened in our lives. And we went to work with Pastor David Swift. And then while we were at Pastor David Swift, we were there for 2 years. And Pastor David told my wife and I to stand up in the middle of a sermon like this. Said, stand up. God wants to say something to you. And we stood up and he said, you're not a minor, you're a pastor. And God cannot bless what you're pretending to be. And my wife had been telling me, we need to do something different. I feel like God wants us to do something. I was saying, shut up, girl. We don't need to know. We don't want to do it, man. We're doing Bible studies. That's good enough. And she said, Dad, God wants us to shut up. Don't say it. But yet, when that word hit me, when that pastor spoke that to me, it hit me like a flaming arrow. And I could not believe what God was saying to me. You're going to pastor a church. Me? Not me. I don't know how to do that, man. I got no idea how to do that. But I think that's why he chose me. You're right. You got no idea, boy. I'm going to cause you to lead a church, my church, the way I want it to be led. Not religious, where people have a one-on-one. Is that right? Independently dependent upon God himself. And then when you're dependent upon God yourself, you'd be surprised how it connects you to believers all over the planet. Because God has believers all over this planet. It's different today, folks. It really is. God is getting ready to show his hand in the earth. And guess what? You're part of it. Hallelujah. Don't be fooled by the world. Don't allow the world to cause you to make jumpy decisions. The word of God says, kick back, man. The word of God calls it rest. Is that right? Rest in what he has for you. He has great things for you. He will give you those things, but sometimes it says, wait for them. Though they tarry, they shall come to pass. What he's told you for a reason. What he's showing you, what he's giving you, he's told you for a reason. Hallelujah. Katie, I feel like the Lord is trying to get me to say a scripture and I'm not sure where it's at. I think. Hold on just real quick. Hallelujah. Katie, it's Isaiah. Come on, man. Come on, Lord, stop it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40, I want you to, can you put this up pretty quick? It says, starting at verse 28. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you. Starting at verse 28, Isaiah 40. This is what have you not heard? How many say amen to that? Have you not heard? Do you not know that God loves you? Have you not heard that? Don't you know that? Here's what the scripture, have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Hallelujah. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases what? He gives power to the what? Faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Is that right? Praise God, Abe. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Come on. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But it says, but they that wait on the Lord, praise God, they that wait on God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall, what? Run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is this old or young men? Old or young women? It doesn't say that. It says whosoever. Is that right? It says they that wait on the Lord. Are you somebody that waits on God? Are you somebody that cares enough about what's going on to say, God, I'm just going to sit here and wait. I'm just going to sit here and wait. I'm going to ask you just to give God 5 more minutes. Let's hear some music. Give him 5 more minutes and allow him to say something to you. Allow him to touch you. Allow him, hallelujah, to heal you. How many want healing this morning? How many desire healing in your life? I mean, allow him to touch that that's within you. Hallelujah. It's his promise. It's his will. He's not a liar. He'll do it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.